The word of God given to us today is Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. Please turn to page 285 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. The 100th Anniversary Memorial Church uses 50% of the congregation's offerings for the church and uses the remaining 50% for purposes outside of the church. Although the church has set this principle, it is difficult to use the entire 50% of offerings every month for matters outside of the church. The church needs to consider various factors, including assisting in cases of emergency, and also consider big expenditures, such as remodeling the church's buildings. So it is difficult to meet the 50% target every month or year. What is clear is that the church has two accounts, each for internal church affairs and for external affairs. So the church does not use the funds in the account for external affairs, for the church's internal matters. We ask for your attention and prayers so that the church will be able to use the full 50% of the offerings for external purposes. The Bible does not say that churches must use 50% of the offerings collected for external purposes. But wouldn't it be better if more churches use half of their offerings to love and serve others in carrying out God's plan? The church's funds for external use are mainly used for Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial Center, two places the church serves. Besides managing these two places, as you can check in the leaflets distributed every month, the funds are used to support bodies related to the church, local churches, missionaries stationed overseas, local and foreign missions organizations, for social relief purposes, and for local organizations and the neighborhood. The commonality of these organizations we use the church's offerings for are that they are in need of support. The church is directly and indirectly supporting churches based in rural areas, multiracial families, refugees, single moms, the homeless, the disabled, the underprivileged, and others in difficult circumstances. Why is the church assisting and serving these organizations and people? It is because this is the church church's mission. It is something God wants from us, and because it is something He has taught us to do. If you look at the Gospels, a wealthy man goes to Jesus and asks him what he has to do to be able to inherit eternal life. Among the things Jesus said was the following: go, sell everything you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Jesus did not say saving the poor is a requirement to earn eternal life. In order to earn eternal life, one needs to believe and follow the Lord, as His words say. A person who walks the way of the Lord should not live with material possessions as one's purpose, and also save the poor. The wealthy man did not murder, commit adultery, steal, or make false testimonies, or commit fraud, and he honored his parents. But Jesus found something he lacked. It was a lack of faith to be able to share his possessions with the needy. The wealthy man told Jesus that he thought he was a good observer of the law. But if he truly understood the law, he wouldn't have accumulated wealth and would have lived saving the poor. Deuteronomy chapter 15 tells how we should treat the poor. Verses 7 and 8 say, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Deuteronomy says, if there is a poor man, one should not be hard-hearted toward them. This means giving up greed. We shouldn't try to hold tight onto what we have and open our hands to share with the poor what they need. Our church needs to be open-handed. An open-handed person is a person walking the way of the Lord. An open-handed church is a church following the Lord, a church that fulfills the mission of the Lord. Deuteronomy's passage of today tells we should be open-handed toward the poor and freely lend them whatever they need. The precondition of lending is not setting a term for the loan and receiving interest and then getting the money back when the term expires. Here, lend means give. We can see this in verse 9. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Communities in Israel had a law that canceled debts in the seventh year. The verse says one should not avoid giving to the poor because the seventh year of debt is near. The verse says, one should be open-handed to the poor so as not to sin to God. From the perspective of the creditor, who should receive interest for lending money, it can appear as a major loss to be unable to receive not only the interest but also the principal of the loan, as the seventh year of canceling debts comes near. God says we shouldn't think this way. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought, he says. This means if a poor person seeks to borrow money, one should not be tight-fisted, but open-handed, by not thinking about the seventh year of canceling debt. The system of canceling debt every 7 years was a system of hope for the poor who did not have the ability to repay debts. Basically, under this law, the wealthy gave, not lent, to the poor what they needed. This is God's law. He says, if a needy person is refused a loan and appeals to the Lord about this, this will be counted as a sin for the person who refused the loan. How could we be able to say a person who turns his back on the poor is a person who fears the Lord? If a person knows God's laws and fears him, the person would not be tight-fisted in front of a poor person. And when we open our hands toward the poor, would we not do so with a generous heart and not with a grudging heart? Verse 10 says, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. The Roman centurion named Cornelius, who appears in Acts chapter 10, was a blessed man who was open-handed toward the poor. Acts chapter 10, verse 2 tells about the centurion Cornelius' faith. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Cornelius was stationed in Caesarea and was devout and God-fearing and saved many of the poor and prayed to God regularly. These four traits of Cornelius were not separate but related to each other. What is interesting is that in Acts chapter 10, an angel appeared in front of Cornelius as he was praying and said, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. The angel did not tell Cornelius that he was devout or that he was God-fearing. Considering that the four traits of Cornelius are related, his devout qualities are seen to have been realized through prayer and gifts to the poor. So the angel stressed Cornelius' practice of faith. Cornelius was a person who was generous in saving the poor. Saving the poor is part of practicing love for others as a person who fears and loves God. Amid his prayers, Cornelius was told by the angel to invite the apostle Peter and send his servants to Peter and invited him to his home and heard the gospel. He was baptized and became part of the church. It goes without saying that Cornelius, who feared God as a Gentile, would have continued saving the poor after he became part of the church. Cornelius' practice of saving the poor would have helped spread the gospel to the Gentiles, as well as help the church, and would have contributed to making saving the poor one of the church's missions. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 tells about how the early church grew as it followed God's way and fulfilled his mission. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of God and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Luke, who recorded Acts, wrote about how the gospel spread and the church expanded to outside of Jerusalem, to Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and how the church stood strong. And he recorded two events before writing about the centurion Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. One was the event where the apostle Paul healed a paralyzed man in Lydda, and another where Peter saved a dead person in Joppa. These are similar to the miracles Jesus performed during his public life. Jesus spread the gospel of God's kingdom, healed the sick, and raised the dead. He also took care of the poor and the hungry. The apostles and disciples of Jesus who learned from him practiced this as a mission of the church after Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven. The church was established strong as Jesus' teachings were practiced. When the centurion Cornelius met the angel in his prayers, the apostle Peter was in Joppa, about 50 kilometers from Caesarea. At Joppa, a female disciple named Dorcas had died from an illness, but when Peter kneeled and prayed to the Lord, he saved Dorcas. Many people came to believe in Jesus through these miracles, and the churches grew stronger and greater in number. What we need to pay attention to is the fact that Luke recorded in Acts chapter 9 that Dorcas was always doing good and helping the poor. Dorcas was also someone who was open-handed toward the poor. Both Joppa's disciple Dorcas and the Roman centurion Cornelius of Caesarea were people who diligently saved the poor. There were people who followed God's way and feared God. They played a great role in establishing the church. The churches of today will continue to be established strong and in peace when these practices of the early church continue. The Lord allowed God's people to continue God's work throughout the history of the church. The work continues today. God's work is the mission of the church. But the miracles that the apostles performed at the time of the early church do not happen today. The healing of the sick and the resurrection of the dead were blessings that God allowed under the special circumstances of the early church. Raising the dead was a miracle God allowed in limited circumstances to send a special message. The saving of lives and healing of sickness that is impossible through medical practices lie in the sovereignty of God. What is clear is that the church continues to save people today. They're doing this in different ways. The Lord made the church save people and heal them not through miracles, but through other ways. The resurrection of the dead will take place at the second coming of Jesus. And today the church is saving souls through the word of God. There is a role the church can play regardless of time. It is saving and serving the poor. Verse 11 says, "There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land." There is a reason poor people end up poor. There are various reasons, such as natural disasters, accidents, or heredity. Among these various reasons, there may be a reason that stems from personal problems. For example, it could result from a lack of diligence or being lazy. But the Lord does not want us to refuse to help the poor because we believe that the reason for poverty lies in personal problems. The Bible says there will always be poor people. Even if a country is wealthy and has developed welfare policies, it will not be able to solve the problem of poverty. The church's role is not to try to eliminate poverty, but to place a priority on helping the poor, regardless of the reason of their poverty, and living harmoniously with them. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount to help the poor. Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 to 4 say, "But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Jesus says we should help the needy in secret to not become people who seek acknowledgement from others. The reason Korean churches work for the poor is not seen much is because they try to follow the teachings of Jesus. Our church discloses the amount of funds we give to organizations according to the church's principles of disclosing account and settlement. But in the cases the beneficiaries' identities need to be protected, the names are not disclosed. Aside from the church's work for the poor, we ask you to individually take part in such efforts to become people who follow the Lord's teachings. Besides the offerings that are used for helping the poor, we have our monthly sharing week, which is the first week of the month, and the volunteering week, which is the third week of every third month in which the congregation is taking part. Please do not hesitate to take part, however small your contributions may be, to fulfill the mission of the church. I am not making this request because the church lacks funds. If individually one helps the needy around us and takes part in the church's work to help organizations and people in need, it will contribute to our church becoming stronger. If bringing something heavy is difficult, you can come even with just one can or package of food and take part in helping the needy, and it will still make you feel better. I ask you to try bringing something to the table without having anyone see it. The church can be said to have five missions: worship, evangelism, teaching, volunteering, and fellowship. The church's mission is the mission of Christians. Worship, evangelism, and teachings are all related to the Word of God, so are categorized as the mission of the Word of God. If we add volunteering and fellowship to the Word of God, these are the three missions Christians need to practice. Among them, volunteering is serving people. Volunteering refers to activities both within and outside of the church. Serving people outside the church, helping organizations and people outside of the church with offerings, fall under one of the church's missions of volunteering. Fellowship is also related to helping the needy. Considering Jesus told the wealthy man who made little efforts to help the needy that he lacked, we should seek for a balance in fulfilling the church's missions. Putting as much emphasis on fellowship and volunteering as on learning the Bible through worship and Bible study would be fulfilling the mission of the church and help the church stand strong. Finally, I would like to touch upon a different way of helping the needy. Korea is living in an era with a per capita income of $30,000. Although it would be ideal for poverty to be eliminated, it cannot be realistically, because there are people who are poor. The church has a mission to take care of such people. If we consider that even in a country that has a per capita income of $50,000 to $60,000, there are poor people, it is the church's mission to continue to help the needy. But there are others that we also need to help. They're the ill, the addicted, the isolated, the people who are spiritually down, people who are psychologically ill, and those who live alone. We need to expand the pool of people we need to help. There are people that face unfair treatment and bullying for many reasons. How can we help such people? Recently, a member of the church came to me. Under the member's consent, I will speak about the member without revealing the person's name. The middle-aged member works for a company that has branches across the country and has a younger sibling who has a disability and is unmarried. The member of the church was providing a lot of financial support for the younger siblings. The member was leading a diligent life, endeavoring to live according to God's teaching. The member did not try to use other ways to go further up the ladder at work. The member was unable to get a managerial title, perhaps because the member did not seek favor from one superior through other means. The member endured even when being sent to an unfavorable position for speaking up about unreasonable practices within the company. The reason the member endured through the insults, harassment, and other forms of work-related bullying was because of the responsibility the member had to support one's siblings. The member wanted to quit, but was unable to. The member said this was despite circumstances of having missed the timing for promotion or early retirement. Throughout my meeting with the member shed tears. There are many such people around us today. Wouldn't we have to help such people? They are not far from us. There are members of our church, members of our Bible study, and our family. Would you want to help them by hearing them out, sympathizing with and comforting them? Wouldn't you want to be part of the journey to make our church sturdier by fulfilling the mission God has given us? The Lord speaks to us. Be open-handed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus preached the gospel of your kingdom and healed the sick and took care of the poor. And through apostles and his disciples made his work the mission of the church. We thank you for guiding the church up until today so that it could fulfill this mission. Let us remember that Jesus told a wealthy man who thought he had faithfully kept the law that he lacked, and that you told us to open our hands to give what we have to the needy, so that we can live each day thinking about what we lack and practice this to faithfully fulfill the mission of the church. Let us remember that it was through the disciple Dorcas and the centurion Cornelius who helped the needy with a heart that feared the Lord that the churches could become stronger. And let our church use offerings to better support organizations and people in need, both home and abroad, to be able to fulfill the mission of the church. Let us not be tight-fisted, and let us open our hands to those poor in heart by sharing our time and words of comfort and love with them to become people who follow your teachings. People who fear you, and people who fulfill your mission. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.